But it's been a flashback week for Blue Jay fans. Jays were in Atlanta, played pretty well, just like they did in 92. And now they got Philly in town tonight down in Dunedin, just like it was back in 93. And whenever I think of the Phillies, the Braves, I think of the early 90s. And we have a guy on the line. This is going to be really cool. Never caught up with John Kruk before. Longtime MLB-er, one of the great analysts in the game. He's been covering the game for the Phillies down at NBC and in Philly. And, of course, he was there in 93 with the Phillies, and he joins us now. Here's John Kruk. How you doing, John?
Oh, doing good.
What are your memories of 93? Do you like when people bring it up, or is it more bothersome?
It's fine. I mean, around here, around Philly, they still love us. I'm sure they like us more in Toronto after after that fiasco, but it's a great memory. And you know, from where we came from that year to where we got to, all the so-called experts had us finishing last in the NL East. So we, I think we surprised some people. So, you know, I think it. I have nothing but fond memories. I still don't like Joe Carter, but other than that,
right?
You know, everything else is good.
Speaking of Joe Carter, does Mitch Williams have a tough time in Philly still? Or are they all over that and acting like normal human beings, or? How's his kind of reputation or his ability to move throughout the city right now?
Well, he just moved back in the area. So he was down in Texas for a while, and he moved back to the area a couple of years ago, I guess. And, they love it because, we try to tell people when asked about that year and, Mitch giving up the home run and all that stuff. But, he had 40-something saves that year. We don't get to the postseason, much less playing a World Series if it wasn't for Mitch. So, we still all respect him, and we still all we're still friends with him. And I was supposed to play golf the other day, but the bastard canceled on me. But other than that, we're still good with Mitch, and the people here forgiving him and understand that he did everything he could to try to get us over the top, but we just didn't get there.
John, we played pro hockey up here, us on the show here, but we retired different ways, all three of us. You had a unique retirement. Did you know at that point when you retired, I believe it was after the first inning in that game, that you were going to pack it in, or was it something that you kind of just decided spur of the moment?
Well, we were the White Sox at that time. We were actually headed to Boston, and I told Jim Abbott that my knees were shot. My knee was shot. I had to have another surgery, and the orthopedic surgeon told me that once I get that surgery, that I'm done. So I told Jim, I said, if you get traded, because there's always talk about trading. I said, if you get traded, that means, that they're building for the future with the White Sox. And I would retire. So lo and behold, we get to Boston that the first day he got traded. And so we all went up to his room, a bunch of us, Ozzy Guillen and Kurt McCaskill, Robin Ventura, I believe, was in there. We're drinking beers and talking and saying goodbye to Jim. And then Jim looked at me and he goes, "So what, are you going to retire now?" And I thought he might have forgotten, but apparently he didn't. And so, Ozzy, Kurt, and Robin came up with this, "Let's come up with a good way for you to retire." I said, "Yeah, fine. You guys figure it out. I'll do it. I don't care." They said, "How about if you just, your next hit, you just hit, touch first base, call timeout, and leave?" I said, "Yeah, I can do that." Well, I was 0 for Boston. And I had to tell the manager and the general manager, to let them know that if the next hit I get, I was retiring. So they had to call a kid up, a young kid up to take my place on the roster, depending on when I got the hit. And so I didn't get any hits in Boston. And then we go down to Baltimore, and I grew up about 2.5 hours from Baltimore in West Virginia. So it was perfect for me because I had a bunch of buddies come down, and, my parents are actually there. So I'm like, shoot, if I get hit here, I leave. And I can drive home. I'll be home in 2.5 hours. Well, it was a weekend series, Friday, Saturday. I was over. And I really didn't think I'd ever get another hit. So the closer for the Orioles at the time was Doug Jones, who was a teammate of mine in 94. And so we got to talking Saturday. And I said, he said, what's the game plan? I said, well, I'm trying to get another hit, and if I do, I'm retiring. So I asked him who's pitching Sunday. He said, Scott Erickson. I said, can you please tell him just to throw me a nothing fastball right down the middle to give me a chance? That's the only chance I had. I mean, I suck. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll ask him, and Sunday before you come up, I'll be in the dugout, and if I tip my hat, that means he's going to throw you a cookie. Well, I'm walking up to the plate for my first at-bat, and I don't see Doug Jones anywhere. And next thing you know, you see someone running down the tunnel into the Orioles dugout, and he's tipping his hat, and I'm like, oh, thank God. Well, he threw me a fastball right down the middle, and I got jammed, hit a little blooper, and that was it. I'm done.
That's awesome.
That's wow. Such a great story with John Kruk. What if you found a gap? Would you have tried to take two, or were you just it was single and that's it?
Well, it depended. It was just whatever hit it was. I mean, but I wasn't hitting any doubles. I had trouble getting out of the infield at that point. And whatever it was, I was leaving. I know Frank Thomas was on the top step, but he was going to run for me. And Rafael Palmeiro was playing first, and he tried to talk me into staying. He said, oh, come on, you're hitting three, whatever. You don't need to go. You're still playing good. I'm like, you ain't been watching. And so by the time I got done talking to Rafael before I took off to go in the dugout, whoever was sitting behind me got a base hit. So I'm like, well, I'm going to talk to Cal now. And so I get to second base. I told Cal good luck on the streak and all that. Next thing you know, while we're talking, someone made it out. I ran to third base, ran right into the third base dugout, up the tunnel. Ozzie Guillen had a champagne. We toasted because Ozzie and I came up together in a Padre organization. So I've known Ozzie since he was 16. And, we toasted, hugged, said goodbye. I got in the car, drove home.
So you didn't do any media or anything?
No, I left a note that told him that I was done and leave me the hell alone. But I was actually home by the time the game was over. Because it ended up like 11 to something like that. A high score was a long game. And I remember turning on the TV and the game was on. And our announcers were like, yeah, we don't know what happened. You know, we're still waiting for word. But it looked like when he ran off the field, he was limping. Maybe he pulled a hamstring. I'm like, yeah, hamstring. I'm golfing tomorrow.
Right. Pull the career. I'm out of here. See you later. We're chatting with John Kruk. We love hearing those stories, like, you know, just hanging around with the boys, having beers, and we always kind of try to get a read on the differences between your era and the modern era, where I don't get the impression like that applies that much anymore. And you're around the game a lot still, and you have conversations with modern-day players. What's the biggest lifestyle change in today's game compared to 25 years ago?
I mean, how guarded they have to be with everything. Everyone has those phones. Or, you know, everyone's got the iPhones and the recordings and video and audio. And I mean, I feel so bad for these guys now because, you know, they have to be so careful with everything they do. And, you know, when I was playing, we didn't really, I don't even know if we had cell phones back in the 80s and 90s, but, you know, we pretty much did what we wanted. We went out after games and, you know, it was fine. No one bothered us or nothing. But these guys now, I feel so bad for them. You know, people say, oh, they're spoiled. They have chefs and they have, I said, yeah, but you got to understand, they can't go anywhere. Because if someone says something stupid to them and they say something back, it's going to be them on the video and getting in trouble. And they don't need that crap. So, I everyone said, oh, if you played in this year, you'd make X amount of dollars. I said, yeah, but I'd be in jail.
Right. Totally different lifestyle, right? And it's a good point in terms of is it worth it in the end, where the money is great, but the life is drastically different. How about a guy like Bryce Harper who rolls into Philly, sells more jerseys than anyone, sells tickets immediately. How's he viewed today in Philly compared to the day he first signed and showed up?
You know, Bryce has done everything that you could expect a player that comes to Philadelphia to play. He plays hard. you know, a couple here and there where he didn't run hard to first, but, you know, the thing about him is he posts up and he plays hard, and, you know, you hear horror stories about how he's going to try to boss people around, and, you know, you hear all these rumors and stuff, but he has been nothing but great, not only with the media, but you know, with the fans, now that the fans are starting to be able to come back, you know, he does the whole thing in right field where he bows and, you know, bows to the crowd in right field. And he is about a loved an athlete in this city as there is right now.
Well, Carson Wentz isn't there anymore, so I guess the door is wide open for him to step through and own Philly. Well, it's go ahead. Well, anyway, we'll leave it there. Have a great weekend, a great call, and we really appreciate you doing this. Thank you, John.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I'm looking forward to watching these guys play, man. You all got some talented young people on that team.
Oh, yeah. There's Vladdy's cooking at first, and Bichette, and Biggio's coming alive. We're feeling pretty good. We're feeling flashbacks of the early 90s again. We're not quite there.
I don't blame you.
Yep, I appreciate it. Thank you, John.
Okay.
There he is, John Kruk of NBC in Philly. A little bit of an awkward pause, but...
No, I...
You love that guy.
We were going to crash and burn when you introduced him. Like, Mulls, you've got to cue it up, because it actually caught you off guard, Brian, because it was one-word answer, was it not?
Yeah, you were like, hey, John, how are you? He's like, yep.
In 93 with the Phillies, and he joins us now. Here's John Kruk. How you doing, John?
Oh, doing good.
What are your memories of? Yeah, he saved us there, man. It got a little bit dicey at times.
Isn't it the worst?
Big gulps, huh? All right.
Isn't it the worst when there's the pause, whether it's between one of us three or the guest, and you're like, okay, do I just take control of this and jump in? And you always wait that extra second, and as soon as you do, then you jump in, so does the other person.
That's what I was waiting for. I'm like, he was about to say something, and I'm like, all right,
never fails.
Go ahead. And then he didn't, and I'm like, all right, I guess I got to jump here, because I was at least a three-second pause. Go ahead. Well, anyway, we'll leave it painful. That is the most painful one we've ever had. I thought he was jumping in on Carson Wentz and could either carve him or say he's a great guy. Actually, I love him. Like, leave him alone. Something. Like it. I put it on a T for him, and I thought he had it. Nothing. What are you gonna do?
Oh my God, that story about retiring was the greatest story I've ever heard.
How good is that?
How about Scott Erickson throwing a meatball down the middle for him too?
Like that. Like, that
happens so many
story.
Times in the big leagues. If this situation like that, it's not going to happen every once in a while. Maybe a massive bonus or something like that. But that's a good dude to say, okay, here it is.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do something with it.
You're right, though. I've heard stories like through the grapevine and stuff where a guy, you know, he's looking for whatever hit it is, or he needs a single for a cycle, and the game's out of hand. Throw him something he can just clock to.
Right.
You know, left field or whatever. You know, just give them something, and pitchers will do it. And that's kind of the nature of the game. The old boys club, right? Like, John Kruk had been around. He was a beauty. They're like, just feed him one, let him retire.
Oh, I loved it, though.
And he was home in West Virginia before the game was over. That's
like,
the best part
is he had, like he was just shooting from the hip. He's like, yeah, I was done. And, you know, left the media a note. You imagine? Who would leave him the media a note nowadays?
Well,
that's even better.
Yeah, and he gets into media, and he's been in media for
No, 20 I'm done and leave me the hell alone, the note said.
Yeah, I'm golfing the next day. Teeing it up the next day in West Virginia.
Oh, what a great interview.
He's awesome.